Blog Talk Radio.
At the midnight hour, this is Pastor Lou of the Maryland Altar, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C. We are in Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. Today is Tuesday, June 25th, 2013, and we're following up on our prior segment where the Lord is speaking righteousness and holiness to the church in the United States of America. And it is clear that in the church in the United States, we have forgotten that the Lord changes not, and we have exchanged the mighty Lord and the precious blood of the Lamb for dollars and prosperity and the things of this world. And the church has forgotten that the Lord, He changes not. The currency of heaven is righteousness and holiness. And as a recap from last segment, let's take a look at both the Old Testament and New Testament definition, one glimpse that the Lord has shared with His people, a glimpse into heaven, into the holiness of the Lord. Since our Lord changes not, it will be easy to find Scripture interpreting Scripture and heaven of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So starting as a recap, in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, a brief recap of the definition of holiness and a glimpse that the Lord has given us of holiness. Oftentimes, people will say, well, Pastor Lou, what is holiness really? And what is righteousness? We hear these all the time, and they appear to be abstract to us. And after all, there's been a famine in the land, the Amos 8:11 famine, not of famine of food and water, but a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. And so we will read very briefly as a recap a definition that the Lord gives us of holiness, a glimpse, just one, and we'll follow this up with another one as well in the New Testament. This is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. That's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. A glimpse into the holiness in heaven that the Lord gave to Isaiah, his servant and his prophet. And this is Isaiah's description of what he saw. And we see the two seraphim, almost unrestrained. They can't help themselves. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, this is Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we get another glimpse into the insight of the holiness of the Lord. This is one facet that the Lord has shared with his church, the Lord has shared with his people, the Lord has shared through his servants, the prophets. And John wrote in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the seeing that the Lord showed him. Verse 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." That's the King James Version, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. These are the four beasts, very similar to the seraphim that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. This is both our New Testament and Old Testament scriptures of nearly identical scenes. And of course, they would be, for the holiness of our God changes not. This was John's vision into heaven. And we started in the prior segment, and we looked at the parable that Christ taught as we anchored on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. This was the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And we see that there's something missing, something very significant is missing with the Pharisee. And we know that the tax collector was considered the lowest of the lows in the Jewish culture. They were essentially financial mercenaries, kind of a mixture between a mafioso and terrorist, except they were legitimate agents of Rome, and they were Jewish, and they were therefore often considered traitors, cultural traitors, to their own people. And the Pharisee, the ones that would wield the law, these were your pastors. These were your teachers. These were your laymen. And as we started, we read from verse 9 through 14. Do a brief recap of Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And we will see right away that one of the key ingredients missing from the Pharisee is a true sense of approaching the Lord and not understanding the holiness of the Lord. Verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. This down word that Christ prefaces this parable is a consistent word that we see in the Gospels. We see that Satan has a tendency to cause the children of the Lord to focus upon the earth and look down. We covered the false prophets and the false apostles, which litter and pollute the land in the United States of America. And they too focus the children of the Lord down. We even see in the parable, and actually the revelation that Christ gave the apostles on the coming of the Messiah, that when that day comes and the seas are roaring, to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yet the world will be looking down and at the world and in tumult and in fright. And so now we see the Pharisee right away is looking down on everyone else. And the acid test here is consistent in the Gospels. It's consistent in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that is the Lord. He wants our focus heavenlyward. The children of the Lord need to focus heavenlyward and not earthbound and not horizontal to the earth. And we see a horizontal gospel that's preached today that connects the children of the Lord to the earth versus a vertical gospel, the gospel of Christ, which connects the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his holiness. So right away, the posture of the Pharisee, this is a giveaway, and the Lord's going to reveal more to us. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. And two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And now we've established clearly that the Pharisee is a religious leader. This is your local pastor. This is even your mega church pastor. This is your religious leader of the day. This could be your deacon. This could be a bishop. And then in our culture, in the United States of America, it would be tough to sort of analogize who this tax collector would be. this lowest of the lows within our culture. But there are so, in fact, we have so many different examples. But since we're not a country that is ruled by another, it's very difficult to find an analogy for the tax collector here. This is an abysmally low level. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Verse 13. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Verse 14. I tell you that this man, this tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, the pastor, the religious leader, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So the Lord calls his children to be in a state of humility. This is the purpose of repentance, the wilderness of repentance, which is a humble posture to the Lord. This is the purpose behind sackcloth and fasting, so that our heart condition doesn't become puffed up or lifted up. We say, well, Pastor Lou, we don't understand sackcloth or fasting at all. The only people that fast in America is when we sleep. We don't even know what sackcloth is. Why do we have to do that? And in the New Testament, we don't see a command that says, go about and wear sackcloth on such and such a day and such a feast. But it was well established in the Old Testament, and we see it as well in the New Testament, that sackcloth is a sign of humility. For even our clothes and our dress, and we've all had fine clothing in the United States of America, in new clothing, which has a tendency to puff one up. And the sackcloth is a reminder of our humbled tent condition for our fallen flesh. And it also focuses the children of the Lord to the kingdom of God and not to the kingdom of this world, where in the United States the church has been led astray with new cars, new houses, new clothes, new boyfriends, new girlfriends, and things of the world. Which in and of themselves, there is no evil. But the church has made it a focus and an idol. And there are idols in the hearts of the children that call themselves by the name of the Lord all throughout the land in the United States of America. As we take a look and see the Pharisee in verse 11, where he compares himself to robbers, evildoers, and adulterers. And then he says something very interesting. He fasts twice a week and gives a tenth of all that he receives. And we see this exact same mindset that is actually taught border to border and coast to coast in the United States of America. You will find this mindset throughout all of the land, And ministers will pounce on this as well about the tithing and the offering. And you will hear all manner of righteous language wrapped around it. And you'll hear, of course, sow a seed and get your miracle and, you know, the obedience to the Lord for the tithing. And here we have a Pharisee. He's saying the same thing. He's saying, oh, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. You know, in the United States, it's pretty rare to find anyone step forward, any minister. They don't look like they fast twice a week in the United States. No, no, they don't. Doesn't, in fact, look like they have ever fasted. So the Pharisee one-ups them here with, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I have. Now, Jesus was well aware of the religious authorities. And Matthew 23, verse 23, this is Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, this is the Lord's response to the Pharisees and their tithing and their offerings. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So the Lord's not rebuking tithes and offerings. But the hypocritical Pharisees, and this is what we see throughout the land with the prosperity gospel in particular, but the heart condition of the children of the Lord in the United States, and almost all offering, is a receiving concept of either receiving a blessing, and certainly got to receive that tax deduction too at the end of the year. And the Lord says, no, it's justice, mercy, and faithfulness. This is righteousness. What the Lord is describing, what the Pharisee is missing in Matthew 23:23, is righteousness. The more important matters of the law, not as in waiting, but what good is it, their heart condition, if they're fasting and offering a tithe, but they're practicing unrighteousness everywhere else? We see this also in Micah chapter 6. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord your God. So here's the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verse 12, saying that I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. And the Lord says, no, they are hypocrites. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But we see the tax collector is very aware that the Lord rules and reigns, and that the sovereign Lord is holy and righteous. And the tax collector is very aware that he has fallen short and that he has sinned. And the tax collector is in a spirit of repentance, not lifted up, not prideful, and not exclaiming all of the good that he has done, for he realizes that he is a sinner. And the tax collector beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The tax collector is repenting. And Jesus says that this lowest of the low, it could be a drug dealer in the United States repenting, a prostitute repenting. It matters not. Does it matter anymore when we come to the Lord and repentance? For we know the blood of the Lamb is the power to wash away all sins and enable us to not sin. Whereas the church has taught so much grace, we can sin all we want. She has forgotten that the blood of the Lamb, the ultimate sacrifice Lord Jesus paid, is that now we can enter the Holy of Holies, and we have the blood of the Lamb to overcome sin and to be overcomers by the power of the mighty Holy Spirit. And so we go through a sanctification process. But this is the same blood of the Lamb that sets the alcoholic free, that sets the prostitute free, that puts at rest those that were crazed and demonically possessed and puts them into their right minds. That's the Lord. Not a God of currency and worldliness. Not the Lord of hypocrisy. That's the Lord of this world. But the blood of the Lamb that delivers from sin and delivers from death, that has power, great, mighty power. Whereas the things of this earth are fading away, the power of the blood is deliverance unto life. So here we see a tax collector, the lowest of the lows, walking away home, justified, righteous before God, for he humbled himself. And this is the wilderness of repentance that the United States needs to enter into and humble ourselves and repent from the sins that we have heaped up into heaven, tolerating homosexuality in the church and ordaining it an abomination unto the Lord, repenting from a sexual sin at the altar of the Lord, pastors, deacons, praise and worship leaders, materialism, idolatry, the prosperity gospel, repenting from the false prophets and false apostles that litter, pollute, and defile the land and the altar of the Lord. And the church has entertained them for the worldliness and catering to the flesh. But it matters not if she humbles herself and returns to the Lord in repentance, for there's power in the blood of the Lamb to deliver. And we see this with the tax collector. Here we have the lowest of the low, and he goes home justified and righteous before the Lord. And the Pharisee, here's the pastor, here's the false apostle and the false prophet. They're not even fasting twice a week, and unlikely they're even giving a tenth of what they have. But even if they do, they're not repenting. And the Lord says, they're not entering. They do not enter. We saw this clearly in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Actually, verse 21, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And now here comes the religious crowd. Here comes the hypocrites. Here comes, unfortunately, the fallen church, the fallen pastors, the false teachers. Here comes the false apostles and the false prophets. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. And as we saw in Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord, he resides in holiness. And as we saw in Revelation chapter 4, our Lord changes not. He resides in holiness and righteousness. And to the hypocrite, and to the hard-hearted, and those practicing unrighteousness, those not repenting and returning unto the Lord, the false apostles and the false prophets and the false teachers, and those that have fallen away and thought, we have so much grace to sin. They're not walking in righteousness and holiness, the essence of the Lord, the power of the blood of the Lamb. And it's true. What the Lord says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is the response that the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. This is the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus said. And now we know, righteousness and holiness, that is where the Lord resides. That is the currency of heaven. Because Jesus didn't know them. They were practicing iniquity. They weren't practicing righteousness. They weren't repenting from their iniquity. And they did not return home justified like the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. Verses 9 through 14. This was the same plight that we saw in Acts chapter 8. And the Lord tells us in Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, the poster child, the New Testament poster child, similar to the Old Testament poster child, of false apostle and false prophet and false teacher and witchcraft practicing false teacher and magician. This is Simon the sorcerer. We saw Balaam, Numbers chapter 22, verse 7, who prophesied for gain, and is recorded likewise in the New Testament. But in Acts 8, 18 through 23, we have a Simon who tried to buy the Holy Spirit. And in verse 23, Peter says, for in the gall of bitterness and the bond of unrighteousness, I perceive you are. New King James Version, verse 23. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Same language that Christ used to depart from me, you who work iniquity, you workers of iniquity. Leviticus 19 is known as the holiness chapter. Question now is, Pastor Lou, how do we practice righteousness and holiness? For the United States, the opportunities are abundant. The opportunities are myriad. The church has fallen to such a point that just as Christ prophesied, there is no stone left upon another. And we have all manner of worldliness in our own homes. We have all manner of unholiness and unrighteousness in our own homes, where we have television that pumps in horrific programming full of adultery and violence and idolatry and revenge and murder, and we call that entertainment. And so we have the opportunity in the United States to throw the garbage out and begin practicing righteousness and holiness. And in fact, any child of the Lord and any believer can look around their house right now and how many of those items in the home are actually dedicated to the Lord and how many of them are actually instruments of the enemy. The catalogs from Madison Avenue, but the work and pry upon the weaknesses from materialism. The DVDs from Hollywood, which teaches immorality, sorcery, witchcraft, violence, bloodshed. And we can go about all through our homes, including the closets, with immoral clothing designed to expose breasts or private areas and bodily outlines designed to scintillate and titillate. All throughout the homes in the United States of America, because this is exactly what we see in the church in the United States of America, where there's no righteousness and no holiness. And we see divorce as common in the church as we do in the world. And we see sexual sin in the church just as in the world. So the Lord lays out in Leviticus chapter 19, this is the holiness chapter. We won't read through all of Leviticus 19, but this is a wonderful chapter to refer back to for practicing righteousness and holiness. For our Lord, he changes not. And in fact, we see much of Leviticus 19 that the Lord spoke through his servant Moses, that the Lord Jesus shared at the Sermon on the Mount. And that makes sense, since our Lord, he changes not. This is Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And again, the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.' Thus, we serve a holy God, a righteous Lord. This is for the entire assembly. This is for the entire church, from the front door all the way to the back door, including the altar of the Lord. There are no exceptions here. The Lord told Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly. You shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am your Lord. I am the Lord your God. New International Version, verse 3. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. And we touched briefly in the last segment that this isn't just for difficult to work with teenagers and younger children. This is for older grown adults and their grandparents or their parents, which are now grandparents and sometimes great grandparents. We saw this in the New Testament, where Jesus once again is giving a woe to the Pharisees for their tithing and giving above and beyond their tithes, and they're not even taking care of their widow parents or their mothers who are widow or their older parents that are not working and poor. And as we know, as we get older, it gets more difficult. And here we had the Pharisees and the religious leaders were giving into the temple and completely ignoring their parents and their need. And we see again in the New Testament a very consistent theme and thread that the one who doesn't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. And this applies to both our children as well as to older parents as well that are in need. And even Paul mentions this again in a very practical matter, widows versus true widows. And the true widow had no family, but there were many out there pawned off as widows because, well, the Pharisees wanted to give their money to the temple. No, they had parents. They needed to support them. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to look good in front of their own religious establishment. They feared man more than they feared the Lord. And so, respect your mother and father. We touched on this briefly. This is righteousness. It's righteous for the children to respect their parents. And whether the children are respecting older parents or younger children respecting their parents as well. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And in the New International Version, it reads, do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. And as mentioned earlier, the church in the United States has a wonderful opportunity to repent from all the idols in the land. For the church is worshiping metal. There are those worshiping their cars. They won't say they're worshiping their cars, but they have no problems working extra hours or longer hours or whatever is required so they can have nicer vehicles than what's really necessary. And we even have a concept and a phrase in the United States known as keeping up with the Joneses. And again, no one's fearing the Lord. That very expression itself is one of fearing flesh and fearing man. So we see throughout Leviticus chapter 19 how the Lord is defining righteousness and holiness. We see many, many examples and many, many opportunities for the church in the United States to repent and for the children of the Lord to return unto the Lord, just like the tax collector, where we read in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. For the Lord says, you shall not steal, or deal falsely, or lie to one another. This is Leviticus 19, verse 11. Do not steal, and do not lie, and do not deceive one another. And in the house of the Lord, the stealing and the lying and the deception is rampant, and the church has grown numb and anesthetized to sin. For they think nothing at all from stealing from employers or stealing from government or even stealing from the Lord, that which is due him. And that's not tithes and offerings, but the honor and the reverence and the fear due unto the Lord. There's no fear at all in the house of the Lord. And that's why the immodest dressing will be seen at the altar of the Lord. And that's why pride has lifted itself up in the house of the Lord, that the people of the world, they walk by and they say, well, we see that everywhere. There's no holiness there. There's no righteousness there. Verse 18, Leviticus 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is also paralleled in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. And if we read carefully and listen to the Lord, we don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people. We've just about annihilated 80% of all of the Hollywood plot lines, for they are almost exclusively built around either revenge or adultery. And the Lord says, verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And again, the Lord is consistent. Old Testament and New Testament. Verse 29. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. You might say, Pastor Lou, how has the church turned their daughters into prostitutes? Today, 2013, the church dresses their daughters almost identical to what a prostitute would look like just 30 years ago. And in fact, today, if you look at the women that are going into the church, it would be difficult to distinguish whether they were going into a church or a nightclub. So far has the church fallen. Oh, but we have to be modern. We have to be progressive. We have to be relevant. What is this? We don't understand this. This is the righteousness and holiness of the Lord, and it changes not. He says, do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute. And when mom and dad buy their little girls short shorts that accustom her to exposing large quantities of flesh, she begins down that path of being numb to being immodest. And modesty isn't taught at all. And then before you know it, you have what you have today, and that when they dress as young women or even young teens, they look identical to prostitutes. whether it's prostitutes in 2013 or prostitutes in 1993. And yet the mothers and the fathers, they're actually buying the clothing. They're buying the clothing and degrading their daughters, becoming a prostitute. And the Lord says, do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and then be filled with wickedness. And so the Lord is never changing. Modesty is the decree, righteousness and holiness, not to dress our daughters like the world, like the prostitution that we see throughout the world. Yet in the church today, all throughout the land, it is very common, even pastors and their children with makeup and ungodly, immoral clothing at the altar, even in the choir, with worldly dancing and very sensuous dancing, essentially what it would be known as disco dancing, and a house of prostitution. Tight pants, tight shirts, mammary glands exposed, anatomy outlined in fine granularity and detail, and the church is so dead, she doesn't even have the blood in her to blush. But the Lord, righteousness and his holiness, he changes not. As we saw in Isaiah chapter 6, and again in Revelation chapter 4, and we'll read through a few more scriptures, both Old Testament and New Testament, because the children of the Lord, they have been lied to. The famine in the land has been great. The famine of the land of the word of the Lord has been so great that the sheep and the children have been fed junk food and poison and the doctrine of devils. And the land has become full of prostitution and is now filled with wickedness and homosexuality. And now bestiality isn't even uncommon. That's Leviticus chapter 19, verse 29. Verse 31, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. The false prophets and the false apostles, as we discussed earlier, they are an epidemic, a plague, a blight, and a boil upon the church. There are no apostles in the United States of America, not one, and there are no prophets in the United States of America, not one. For if there were, we would see this righteousness and holiness. In fact, the church would have been in repentance long ago. She would have been in the wilderness of repentance. For look at how far she has fallen from the call of the Lord. The fundamental, basic 101 call of righteousness and holiness. The Lord didn't call us to, you need to know physics and calculus and all of this difficult stuff. No, he called us to be righteous and called us to be holy, as he is holy and has left his word, very clear living word and testimony to the children of the Lord, as well as the Holy Spirit, whose first name is holy, to guide and to teach the children of the Lord in the ways of our God. Very briefly, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16. Be holy because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Verse 15 prior to, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In all manner, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace. That means not striving and fighting in the smashing of fists that we see in Isaiah 58, the false fast, the fast of the Pharisees, where there is strife and there is arguing and there's harshness with the servants and there's harshness of language, not fruit of the Spirit, not long-suffering, not patience, not kindness, no, harshness of language, a bickering and a striving. Hebrews 12:14, the Lord commands, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Hallelujah. We see a consistency, Old Testament, New Testament, righteousness, holiness, for our Lord God Almighty, He is holy. The end time revival is in full swing, and we're just about finished with this segment. I want to remind the listeners that available and for free and without a spam list or any sort of gimmick at all, the ministry has been sharing both nationally and internationally the miracles of the Lord and the mighty end time revival, a revival of repentance, a righteousness, holiness revival that has come by the power of God and the mighty Holy Spirit. And we've seen the mighty works of the Lord. HIV AIDS healed, blind healed, deaf hearing, blind seeing, cripples walking, lepers cleansed at many, many revival meetings. The ministry has the Kakamega 2012 Miracles of the Lord. Just write Lou at highwayofholiness.us. That's Lou, L-O-U, at highwayofholiness.us. Or you can go to the website, highwayofholiness.us. There are several DVDs, and we ship them out all over the world for free, no obligation, no gimmick, no offering. We won't accept them, and it's for the children of the Lord. We'd like to see what the Lord is doing and to be aware that the Joel 2:28 revival is real, and it is happening right now, and it is a repentance revival, the foundation of which is righteousness and holiness, the currency of heaven, by the power of the blood of the Lamb. It's absolutely beautiful and astonishing what the Lord is doing. He is bedecked in majesty, and I bless the Lord. Until next segment, and as the Lord leads, shalom, shalom.